May 20, 2006. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show.
Yeah.
May 20th, 2006 edition. Let's turn this down, huh? And it's been 5 years and one day now since we've been doing the show.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. It's the 104th show. No, 103rd show. And thanks for everybody for listening in. Brother Matt, it's been righteous doing these.
Indeed.
Sailing along with you. Indeed. The Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point.
Continually evolving.
Evolving. Trying to get it together.
Hotline.
There's a bone phone. We got a special guest today, Mr. Bob Stiers. Say
Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Welcome.
Hey, it's nice to be down here in Pedro.
Whoa. Now you're all loud.
Yeah, the human megaphone.
No, it's cool. Let's see. We started off the show today with a song from you. I haven't heard John Coltrane on vinyl in a long time. That was Africa. You got that up in Eugene, Oregon?
Yep. Back in 77, a friend of mine said, you really need to have this, and he bought it for $1.
$1?
I peeled off the sticker off the vinyl there, but that was my introduction.
What year?
1977. So my own kind of version of jazz punk. He got me going on that angle.
A well spent dollar.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you were talking about like in the days if you had the bones, all the bootlegs.
Yeah, Eugene had this record store. These guys are from Berkeley. I think they had a place called Rather Rip Records. They moved up to Eugene, and it was called The Press. It was right next to a movie theater where we used to see things like Clockwork Orange with Ken Kesey sitting right next to you. And they had just thousands of records. They were mostly priced, vinyl, $3.97, bootlegs. They let you hear them. Stuff that Zeppelin may not even have from the Mothers, and Yardbirds become Zeppelin, the stuff that you'd want to hear. And it sure would be nice to go back in time and buy all those. But the FBI came in and cracked down, and that was the end of that.
Pirates.
Yeah. Pirate radio.
And after John Coltrane, we heard some Spot.
That was cool.
Legendary SST producer. And in fact, you were talking about Buzzer Howell, and I gave you the insight on that. It was half Ethan James one side, and the other side was Spot doing us live to two-track at one of the last recording sessions at Media Art in Hermosa Beach.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I remember being outside the Anti-Club after a Great Minimum gig. You know it's good when you're taking a piss with Hurley, you know, right before the show. It's going to be a good gig. Kind of like my first rock concert ever, went to The Who at Anaheim Stadium 76. Keith Moon doing a somersault on the stage. You knew you were in for something special. But Dee Boone was telling me that recorded Double Nickels for $300.
No, $1,100. I paid for it, I know.
Oh, okay. So he threw in. Okay.
No. I was the one who could spare the bonage. And it was the Buzzer Howell record that was kind of the litmus thing that turned us on to Ethan, like, yeah, let's do the next album with him. Now, it was going to be just an album. It was never going to be a double album. It's because the Hooskers came to town and did Zen Arcade with Spot.
Yeah, Carducci has some good stories about that one. Throwing the chairs during it.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, in that, what's it called, Stand By the Sea or something, there's a tune on there. And that big hollering is Spot. And I forgot to name give the title of that song. It's A Clumsier Lover. Spot lives in Austin now, and he does Celtic music. And I've taken him on tour solo, and I think next tour I do, I take him again.
Cool.
Because I love him, and he goes way back.
Nobody
he's an incredible
can produce
musician.
Get that guitar treble tweaked up like Spot, I don't think. I mean, whether it was your records or the Hooskers, just phenomenal.
Speaking of, so you dug pissing next to Georgie.
Yeah,
was like a
but actually,
song.
Though, the thing that got me going on you what was a friend of mine had told me, oh, you got to go see these guys in Minutemen. What's the matter with you? And at the time, I didn't have a lot of money. It's probably 82. But finally, on a rainy night, I called my friend, also went to Oregon with me, and said, I think you're in for something special. And so, because I had bought Buzzer Howell, Also because Richard Meltzer, I really liked his reading and writing in the Reader. So go down there in the rain, and I think the opening band was
Beyond Baroque.
Beyond Baroque, that's where John Doe and XT met, allegedly. And I think the opening band was Rosie Bray. So we go in the back, and there's these two kind of beefy dudes, you know. And they go, hey, man, you want some smoke? And,
Mota?
You know, I hadn't actually, other than the artwork on Buzzer Howe, I didn't know what these cats looked like, so... We smoked out with these dudes, and then...
Oh, yeah, there were Xeroxes on the back. In fact, George's was so bad, I had to put him on the label. Like, his head was like a football.
Right. Yeah, those looked like Raymond's.
Also, I got a Richard Meltzer a letter where he apologizes for missing the gig because he had to go to a wedding.
In Malibu, right?
I think it was Vinnie Golia's wedding, the saxophonist.
Wow, yeah.
So that's all you knew of us. Well, actually, Joe Biza did a artistic rendition of me and D-Boone discussing things on the cover.
You know about that. I've got to get that out again because I remember just a little. It looked like
black and white ink.
Well, it kind of reminded me of, I'm going brain dead on the guy, you know, Ralph Steadman. It almost had a little bit of the bubble.
Well, it's all this stuff flying out of our mouths.
Yeah, but it had those almost black and white splotches like a Ralph Steadman
totally.
Type of thing, which also pulled me in. I thought, wow, this is cool.
I had found...
And Joe Biza ended up playing in my wedding with Universal Congress. So it's weird how all these things tie together.
So you're backstage and these guys offer you Mota.
Not even backstage, the back of the room. You know, it's just a big wooden... Actually, when Venice was a real city, one time it was a city hall beyond Baroque. And so, finally, these dudes get on stage and we're like, man, that's who we just smoked out with. And it was just incredible. Not a lot of people, rainy night, and, you know, $5 was well valued that night. And so ever since,
that was your first Minutemen gig. What was your impressions of D-Boone singing and playing?
I just liked the sort of Pete Townsend, the way he would do that leap.
Yeah.
And I'm very athletic for a big man, always. I mean, just incredible. And just the passion. There's a certain sound in the guitar that I have never heard anywhere else.
Well, were you into Blue Oyster Cult?
You know, I'm up in Eugene, and that was when, like, Don't Fear the Reaper came out and all that stoner stuff. And I was trying to, you know, the people that I knew there didn't have the really good stuff. So, actually, when I came down, I got my degree. I came down in 80. And I always liked different music because my brother and sister were older, and I was buying records at 5 years old. And so I came down, and I went to some Alliance for Survival gig at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, they had this crap like the Eagles with CSN and whatnot. And there was this big old fat hippie had bought a barrel of beer, was just drinking it, and then he just hurled.
Drinking out of a barrel.
A barrel. And he hurled all over the place, and I said, that's it. I've had it with this
no
shit.
No more Blue Oyster Cult.
No, not Blue Oyster Cult, just that. You know, I associated them with that kind of stoner shit, even though that wasn't their thing at all because they didn't know their music. So I left there quickly, and I went down to the Memorial Day 1980. I had been hearing about the whiskey, so I went down there, bought a Foster's, and I had some blonde hash from Oregon right in front there, and $5 went in and saw X and the Blasters. And I went in there, and there was broken glass and blood all over the place in the bathroom. And there was just an energy that I go, man. And that first show, well, I stayed back then, you know, for $5. They had two different shows. And I went to the second, and that kind of got me going on the whole thing here.
Well, I mentioned Blue Oyster Cult because D-Boone was way into Buck Dharma. So when I hear his guitar style, I hear a little bit of Buck Dharma.
There's something soothing in there, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I like
except for the trebly thing. That was uniquely D-Boone.
Well, the influence, I think, from, you know, the Katie Lyde record, I can hear that in there, too.
Dan?
Yeah, the Dan. I mean, I hated Studio Dan in college. People were playing that Asian. Just, I was going to see Patti Smith, her first radio concert in years, and she went way over the board with the censors. And so this is 78, and people were playing that Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, you know, taking it to the streets, shit. And that's when I knew. I needed something. Like Ike Turner said, somebody needs to come along and make the music really crackle and pop and scare you.
What'd you think of George Hurley's drumming?
I think it's, I guess my, I was spoiled. That first rock concert, I saw Moon just attack the drums and fresh and healthy right after they did the Tommy soundtrack. And I've never heard anyone that seemed to be on that level, but, you know, with your stuff was, well, actually the Who weren't really true rock and roll all the way, but it was, went to a different level. And Hurley's drumming, just phenomenal.
That's funny because you know how he learned. You know, he was building surfboards as a teenager. That's what he used the shed for. And he went to Hawaii a couple times and lived there on the beach and was almost killed by the waves and the coral. So he said, fuck surfing. I want to learn drums. And he bought Happy Jack and some headphones for a stereo. And he learned by jamming with Keith Moon.
Well, I heard a lot of people learned playing, you know, with the headphones on live at least. Actually, I picked up this cheap DVD, The Who. It has the Tommy Show in 89 and Quadrophenia in 95, which there's a little PC-ness on there because Gary Glitter was in a little trouble and they just call him PJ Proby. But we know who the guy is. But, you know, there's something, I don't know, a tie-in with that stuff. I know that I saw you guys once play open up for Hot Tuna, and Hurley was just playing kind of the
Variety
bongos,
Arts
unplugged at the Variety Arts, and I could see how he could tap it. But actually, Zach Starkey, this was the thing I was thinking of, is on this DVD. Pete's talking about how actually, you know, because his dad was big buddy, drinking buddy with, you know, Moon and John Paul Bonham and those guys, and that actually he learned from Moon, hanging out with Moon as a kid, Zach Starkey, and he's been playing with The Who, and his drumming is, you know, kind of on that level, a little better than his dad.
So the bottom line is, you are what you eat.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, I never saw The Who with these new drummers. I only saw them with
No,
Who.
I remember Entwistle saying when Moon died, and I mean, Kenny Jones is a nice guy and a capable drummer, but, you know, Zach Starkey is as close as you might get. But he said, you know, we need to get two drummers to even come close to what he did.
Wow.
And he was truly mad. I was lucky the same year to see The Who in Portland. And Daltrey had a cold and was apologizing and being whiny. And Moon just jumped right off the drum kit. It actually broke one of the drums and just tackled him hard to the stage. This is not stage shit. I mean, just he was a true madman. And they, you know, the story about him auditioning for The Who, he just destroyed some kid's drum kit.
The original drummers.
Yeah, 14 years old. And I mean, yeah, they say he attacked the drums and played notes. Well, yeah, you listen to there's a version of Bargain that's live that's out there somewhere. But some of that drumming is just incredible.
We like some of that newer, but we like the old stuff. I just did some gigs with the Stooges overseas, and on the way back, I listened to all of Happy Jack, My Generation.
Weren't those put together out, because those were singles?
Yeah, you know, I remember in the 70s, they came as double albums.
Yeah.
Decca repackaged them. But this is the new stuff with the extra, the stuff that was on the IFC bootlegs and stuff
that. Yeah, like, you know, this one. Do you remember what?
Right.
I gave you at a Firehose gig. Of course, you already had it, but I found a bootleg called Who the Fuck, which had all the stuff on here, like of the Mountain King, all the extra stuff. And yeah, they made their thing here in the States, I guess, from playing live, because they didn't really sell a lot of records over here.
No, but they were sure putting them out in the 60s. That was like every 8-9 months, like what the Minutemen used to do.
Yeah, some of them I still haven't really hardly seen. Like, I got this weird British, Best of British compilation. It had just real rare shit. And it had Call Me Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which was never played here, but it was kind of nice to hear a different...
It's on the Magic Bus.
Right. And actually, you know, with The Who Sell Out, I didn't have that record. I found this weird French import, that same record store in Eugene that had those songs like Marianne or The Shaky Hand.
There'd be Italian anthologies.
And it had
like
some other
too.
Songs, though, like a couple that actually Daltrey actually wrote. And it was
Here for More. It's the B-side of Anytime, Anyhow, Anywhere. Yeah, there's hardly any Daltrey pen. Maybe it ain't the B-side of that one, but he gets half writing credit for Anytime, Anyhow, Anywhere, and there's this other one called Here for More. Maybe it's Seeker.
The Seeker.
Maybe it's on their own label track.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what's
that
a great record on, you know, Track Records was The Who's own label.
Oh, really?
And you know what's a great album that Real label put studio. Out? LAMF.
Really?
And I read somewhere there's 380 mixes from that session.
Oh, mine is so muddy. I have the picture vinyl once
there's
again.
A new,
got, oh.
There's a new release that has supposedly the best mixes of the. Yeah, because each member of the band would go in and do mixes, you know, all fucked up. And then the next guy would go in and, next guy, and they end up with 380 mixes of, like, what, 12 songs?
You know, those Thunders records, there's still one. If I see any Thunders bootleg, I'll buy it just on the chance. I picked one up that was just Thunders and Sylvain at the Whiskey. And, you know, the quality isn't that great of recording, of course, but there's always one or two nuggets in there.
Yeah, I love Thunders. Let's play some more music. Watch for Pedro Show. from Pedro show. Had to turn down the sound there. That was Rococo from Wuhan, China, with a song called We Just Free. And good luck to them, a young girl band from China.
Xie xie.
Sent me their tunage. Before that, we had Timo Ellis from New York City with a tune called No Revenge. And we started with Yuka Honda. Some things should be kept unsaid. Whoa, somebody's bumping their mic.
Don't see it. Oh.
You can't hear. I got the monkey ears on, so I can tell you're doing that, Bob.
No. First track, Toots and the Maytals.
Toots and the Maytals.
Cool.
This is when I was working in these libraries, and this one, someone had donated every CD they had, and it was this Putumayo. They go to their website, they have this really cool music, and it was a Jamaican reggae, so, I mean, and the songs are hardly, never songs you know, that's how they get the rights to something, but clean recordings, and this Toots and the Maytals, this was just like a shot of adrenaline in me, because I was working like 14, 15 hour days, alone at night in this old little single room. It was, in 1897, it was the entire school there at Canyon, Pacific Palisades, and so wow. In that room, the sound just cranked. Well, this CD I picked up, it's called Jamaican Reggae on Putumayo Records, and Toots comes out. I have this thing about that first song gives you a shot of energy, and
I think that's your leash.
Dave's not here, man.
So, yeah?
It's Carlos Gutierrez. It's Carlos Gutierrez.
Oh, put him on the air.
Hey, Carlos. Okay. Hey, you're live on the Watt from Pedro show right now.
Huh?
You're live on the Watt from Pedro show.
Am I live on the show?
Yeah, we're here right now.
We got Carlos Gutierrez on the bone phone. How are you? We're going to come see you play, right, tomorrow night?
The game last night, we should have gone to that game.
No, but tomorrow night, me and Brother Matt.
Don't go to a baseball game with Brother Matt.
No, but me and Brother.
In the rain for 3 hours, and then we leave, and then the game starts at 11:30. That's a lot of fun.
We'd rather be at the Cathedral.
We can't get out of the ticket because they played the stupid game.
Yeah, we were supposed to get a free ticket for the rain out.
Oh, wow. But me and Brother Matt are going to see you play tomorrow night at Liquid Kitty, Carlos.
What was that?
We're going to go check you out tomorrow night at Liquid Kitty.
Who's that?
It's out there, Pico and Bundy.
Yeah,
West LA. I'm asking who, you and who else?
Watt.
Who?
Mike Watt.
Oh, is that Mike back there?
That's me.
Yeah, he plays bass once in a while. He's gotten kind of lazy lately, though.
Yeah.
You know, when you play that thing,
I'm learning how to play.
You got
to
tune all four strings.
It was tuned when I bought it.
Were you there last night in Pedro?
So you just did a new album, huh?
Huh?
You just recorded a new album this week.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. I really like it because it's live. There's no overdubs or nothing. Hey, you want to hear a song I wrote like 3 days ago?
Play it.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah, we can hear.
I wrote this song 3 days ago, and we recorded it yesterday over at Mike's house. Not at the recording place, but just over at Mike's house.
Let it rip.
Mike Hightower, whose real name I found out is Mike No Shower.
That's for more power.
Hang on. There it is. Take a breath and pray for me.
Okay, a prayer for you.
Sounds like Dick Dale from here. Oh, man.
Okay, Carlos, you're going to have to give us a copy because probably not the best fidelity here. Carlos, we'll talk to you later.
Near Brother Matt's other ear, so it'll be amplified loud into the room.
No, we got to get a copy from you. We got to get a copy, but we got to get back. to the show here. We'll see you tomorrow night, Carlos.
Hey, well, what? I think that sounded clearer than the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay, we start at 10. I go on at 10 to 11, and the pigs go on to 11.
Okay, let's get some more music going. This is something, Bob, you picked. Some Roxy music. Watt from Pedro Show.
to or not to raise their voices. You decide. Which way will you turn? While feeling that our love's not your concern. It's you that decides. No one around you will carry the blame for you. No one around you will love you today and throw it all away. You, I can't carry the blame for you. I may decide to get out of your present, but I'll carry on guessing. How high will you leave? Will you make enough for you to reap it on your eyes? At your
from Pedro Show. That was El May with a George Harrison song, Run of the Mill. Before that, something Bob Stiers, our guest today, picked. Remake, remodel Roxy Music from their first album, the first Roxy album, which was pretty intense. I remember when I was a teenager, there's only a few girls at Pedro High who listened to it that would go up to Hollywood on weekends and was involved with the glitter scene. And, yeah, guys hated it.
But the dudes didn't buy those records just for the album covers? I mean, come on.
No, they hated
really?
It.
It was too a few years like later. Classy. It wasn't like the Seventh Veil. It was too English.
No, you know who brought over, as far as Pedro goes, the glam and glitter was Bowie. When he had the Ziggy Stardust thing, a lot more girls got into it. And, of course, the guys followed after that. But at first, oh, no, man. Not at all.
I missed out on that whole Bowie thing. Did they play at the Long Beach Arena, maybe? Or
I think it was the Santa Monica Civic, and it was the last gig he was going to quit. And then he came back a year later with Pinups, which was an album of covers.
Oh, I love that one, Friday on My Mind. Cool. And
See Emily
See
Play.
See Emily Play. Because he says on there, the description, he says, Sid's Pink Floyd.
I think he does can't explain, too.
That's the way he felt. There was no Pink Floyd after Sid left.
That's true, in my opinion also. Yeah, I think there's a Who song he did, Can't Explain,
yeah,
with saxophone.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
And I think the big single was Sorrow.
Yeah.
The only
but he
thing
did the Pink song, Where
Have
All the Good Times
That's right.
Gone. Van Halen should have listened to that one and said, well, they were about money.
My
Brooke
favorite
and Arcadia, those guys played at our high school. Why?
Wow.
After the football games for $4. It's called the fifth quarter. And we were going, not Van Halen again, man.
Oh, yeah, they were Pasadena. They lived
yeah,
by you.
Their dad, Van Halen's dad, was pretty well healed, bought him $100,000 worth of equipment. And David Lee Roth's father worked at Burroughs, which had an office in Pasadena. So
he was a big dentist.
And right? Michael Anthony, I just saw the guy recently at this Mexican place in Arcadia. He's there with his kids.
Oh, Bob, we're at the end of the first hour.
And he's belching. In public.
Okay. That's the end of the first hour of the May 20, 2006 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. May 20th, 2006. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Duke. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show.
Big
yeah. That's something new from Flamin' Lips, their new album, At War with the Mystics, and that's a tune called You Haven't Got a Clue. Before that, we had something our guest Bob Stiers picked, Banal Reality by a band called Organic Grooves. You want to tell us something about that, Bob?
And that was off the groove sampler, Putumayo, also. They're considered Asian groove. So, kind of repetitive, but hypnotic, perhaps.
And before that, we had the Boozers with the tune called Boozer. I don't know where they're from.
Was it like Big Country and Big Country?
And we started out the second hour with something Bob also picked. Toots and the Maytals with Reggae Got Soul. Right. Tell us something about that.
Yeah. Well, that was another one. I was working in a library. I needed that energy at the end of the day. And this one was in the old original classroom. Was built in 1897. The library was the original school down in Canyon in Pacific Palisades. And so I would crank this when I was working late. And this was the first song on this Jamaican reggae compilation. And it's just a high energy thing, you know?
Now, I wanted you to tell us about this. We had Carlos Catarlos last hour on the telephone, ringing up Brother Matt. And the old days, Carlos played in the Rhythm Pigs, and you got a good Top Jimmy and Rhythm Pig story, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's strange, because Top Jimmy's actually just the punchline of the whole story, but it kind of tells the story of the Rhythm Pigs and the Cité de Grand. But yeah, I went to there for the first time. I'd been going to shows for a long time. But it was kind of a nasty crowd, hot as hell, packed. It was protecting the horse heads, and get in there, I see Jeffrey Lee Pierce. This place is so goddamn hot, I'm sweating the drugs out of me. It was a pretty wild scene, texting the horse heads. You know, drummer had his, a slit where his balls were, and an interesting crowd. So
he's free balling.
I'm going down the stairway, and I see Exene there, and all those religious pamphlets that she would have fun with just littered. I mean, it practically carpeted the stairway. And I get down to the bottom, and Top Jimmy's having this really serious conversation with a chick. And right when I walked down, the only part I heard of it, he goes, "You know, man, if I live 57 more days, I'll inherit this trailer out in the desert. If I live another 57 days." He lived a little longer. But, yeah, he was going to do the Captain Beefheart thing and just take that place out in the desert and who knows what. The Rhythm Pigs, the house band at the Cité de Grand.
And Guilty's back from Austin playing with Carlos Catarlos again, the original bass player for
the Southpaw, right?
Yeah,
yep. Like big
man, big man.
Yeah,
Guilty rocks. Yeah, dig the
he holds it
like
a
the
who was the piano cat? He passed away, right?
The dude plays for the Blasters and also for the
God. What was his name? Do you remember, Bob?
Gene Taylor.
Gene
Taylor rocks. He's still rocking.
He looks like
I thought he passed away.
No, I think so.
Sorry, Gene.
Think he's still
don't mean to bury you.
He was like one of those old guys, like Guitar Shorty and Smokey Hormel.
Pine Top Perkins. That's who I saw
he,
with.
He actually, I saw Tom Waits, and he was playing with Tom Waits in the band.
Carlos?
Smokey Hormel.
All right,
another
right.
Guy from the scene. And he actually.
He's a good friend of Steve Hodges, who I did the engine room with.
Really?
Yeah, Carlos played with Tom Waits, too.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, they had that kind of strange, bluesy desert. Tumbleweed sound.
Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
Now that was a show at the Dancing Waters. Cramps, the Meat Puppets.
I first saw the Meat Puppets at the L.A. Press Club. And they had this intense version of 96 Tears. Oh, you know who wrote me on the MySpace thing is Question Mark.
Oh, I saw that. Was
the Michigan Mexicans. Yeah, he said, "Hey, Mike White, you know 96 Tears. Can you feel it? It's for you." And I love that song. That's one of the reasons...
Yeah.
That one and Sister Ray were my favorite organ songs. And that's what I was thinking of when I put together the second
band. Yeah, I kind of copied that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's got the band back together. He's doing gigs. He's really a big proponent of this, the alien
aliens are.
Well, that's why he's question mark. I mean, Mysterians. I mean, what galaxy are they really from? You know. And do you remember what you played? Firehose opened up for the Meat Puppets. I can't remember the name of the place. It was down on something like 18th Avenue in L.A., kind of a...
Fiesta House?
And it was like, it was someone's house, and...
No, but there was a club called the Fiesta House.
That wasn't the name of the club.
It was on Pico, by the freeway?
Possibly, yeah, near downtown.
Oh, no.
No, downtown.
With Meat Puppets, it was The Scream, by MacArthur Park.
There you go.
The old Elks Lodge, where the pigs came and beat the middle class up.
Yeah.
I went into the head. I was lucky. I went into the head and I come out of the head and all this fighting. It was the Plugs and the Go-Go's, the middle class or something.
Oh, really?
And they came in and they were cracking heads. The singer of Middle Class's Girlfriend, Bob, I think her name was Barb Wire. Everybody
else. That's a good punk name. Like Bobby Pin. Hey, Barb Wire.
And she had a crack in her head from a billy club. It's terrible.
Well,
they called it the Elks Lodge Riot. But is it a riot if cops just come in and beat you?
Well, what about the riot of the Minutemen?
It's a beating.
The Minutemen, Black Flag, and Ramones.
At the Palladium. Yeah. They came in through, because our dress, we weren't with those guys backstage. They put us in the room up towards the front, and that's where they came in. Well, we're there, all of a sudden the doors are bad, bad. Then these guys, Blues, the boys, the gang in blue.
I mean, after... Minutemen and Black Flag was doing the Hendrix mix with the Short and the Ramones. It was, everyone was mellow and soothed. And they go outside and there was at least 200 cops lined up. And then they started roughing up people.
Yeah.
It ended up being considered one of the top 10 L.A. music riots ever. But
there was a few Black Flag riots.
I saw someone on the street and said, you should take some pictures of this. This is really bullshit. And of course, he's an undercover LAPD. Shut up, or I'll stick this where the sun don't shine. Yeah. They wouldn't let me walk back to my car. I had to go through a really shitty neighborhood.
They're terrible. They're terrible. But that's where we play with the Meat Puppets. There's a Scream.
Well, they did a show after Firehose where the brothers, it started out a normal show, and they must have dropped acid when they went on stage because it turned into that astronomy domain kind of thing. The drummers just looked at him like, man,
Bostrom,
what's going on? But it worked.
They told me about that L.A. Press Club show where I first saw him, that there was some drum set backstage, and the Derek kiped it.
Some of the kids, he's just grabbing the guitars off the wall.
That's
great.
That's
okay, brother, great. Man, time for... The Spin Cycle. Much respect.
Thank you. fast and easy trip.
What do you mean I'm making all this up?
Just an average Josephine.
Let's begin now.
Took the fuck the back ramp and like smart bomb, turn that trash down. back again for the rundown. Funky till sundown. It's double K and best one. Let's have fun now. This ain't your typical. Throw your hands up. We on that laid back tipping. Long schedule is tripping. J Boogs in the track. And I did the dope. Home, put the label on it. That's all you need to know. I turn snow to concrete when it's time to speak. Turn sluts into virgins when my words start curving. Yeah, man, we cooling and smoothing it out. Young ladies lead the way. Words flow out my mouth. And I tell them every day it don't get no better. I'm shooting the shit like tips from a black Beretta. Keeping it hot like sweaters, compact like a Jetta in a very wicked way. Slide the ticket this way. Old school like ticket. Yeah, that's us. People under the steps don't call us putts. And that's and J Boogie one time, man. That's a.
Put your hands together, yeah, just like that.
Giddy clack and jump back to the 3-4. Good time shit, umbrella and seashore. Like the sand for the sound, got a bow for your sound. Kids build a sandcastle and manhandle the plow. Did a job day and now J Boogie got the women. Moving, living and grooving, soothing, so what we sipping? Bombay, that's the sapphire style. Lime in the glass, dance, crack a fly, smile. And I can't pile a few more fams in the car. They're closing up the club, so we heading for the bar. Now I never stop, how would a D flower the dame? Like acting R&B, spinning round in the rain. I'm on the dance floor, acting like I'm in pain. Rayon and amoebas, gerbils with a stain. Spilling the wine, starting the soul train line. Don't worry about a thing, everything will be fine.
Move it to my beat, now what we want you to do. Put your hands together, yeah, just like that. Move it to my beat, now what we want you to do. Put your hands together, yeah, just like that.
See, here came the lady with the black midriff. Dropped in shades and he paused mid-split. Now look, miss this, miss the others, cause you gotta hit the floor with this and do the lambada. And make fat and then white hair. They said it just don't. Party folks and y'all alike, stir up the night. Rubber dubbing on the one, never minding on the two. J Boogie, my man, this one's, yeah.
Move it to my beat, now what we want you to do. Put your hands together, yeah, just like that.
Move it to my beat, now what we want you to do. That. Keeping it live, y'all.
Put your hands together, yeah, just like that.
Dig it. J Boogie.
When I walk in the club, they kiss and they hug, they push and they shove, pat me down, begging for blood. I ain't no scrub, just sitting in the club, bumping his gum, hanging with thugs, I'm hollering at girls. Catfish, let me scream at you for a minute. You see, baby, over there, I'm trying to go up in it. So let me slide up on it and hit it like I want it. I got to do it, doggone it. She say she never had a G like me before. Well, what are you now? The pimp is for real, that ain't for fake. From steak to steak, doggy dog, get the cake. Take her, break her, salt shake her. I'm gonna make her do what I want to do.
I'm just a law gangster.
Put your guns away.
I'm a law gangster.
Put your guns away.
Four block pop. It's dealing.
No playing the game.
Just
think the little skinny white fight was
Pedro
good.
Show. Hold on, Bob. We got to finish out this second hour. That was Walla Voodoo with Factory, a song Bob picked. Before that, we had Brother Matt's Spin Cycle, Righteous Spins.
That
righteous
was good.
Melding. And hold tight for hour three. May 20th, 2006. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And here's part O of Moon Over Morocco.
Scorpions with the hand of compassion get stung. The queen is very busy in her tower. She has found Flossie and her men and rained down great sizzling bolts of lightning. Next she found El Kaba and sizzled his seat. Then Sunny returned, and the queen grabbed the golden eye she'd heisted from Jack. It continues.
How long you think the flaming circles that you draw protect us from Azora's magic?
It beats me, Avo. You got a match.
Oh, you know use the magic fire to light the cigar.
Nah, magic fire's just not the same as real fire, you know? Hey, anybody got a match? Thanks, Dad.
Welcome.
You know, something's fishy. Queenie Zora must have her attention on something else. She's not laying it on like before. I will read the sands.
Ah, sands.
El Kaba is caught.
What has happened?
Queenie's got him trapped in a valley of circles.
We must help. She destroy him quick.
We can't get to him in time. But maybe we can get to the queen. Come on, man. To the palace of El Hassan Bizel.
El Hassan Bizel!
So we sing as we are riding home. It's the time you'd best be hiding low. It means the rifts are abroad. Go before you've bitten the sword. Go, that's the sound that comes to warn you so. In the night or early morn, you know. If you're the red shadow's foe, the wrist will strike with a blow that brings you woe.
I won't let go. I haven't gone through all this burning sand and scorching sun and muck and mire just to let go, just as I'm about to understand the meaning of these circles, even if it kills me.
What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing?
You're killing Jack.
I break El Kabah slowly. Break his bone one by one.
But he's not El Kaba. He's Jack Flanders.
He is El Kaba.
He's not. I tell you, Aunt, what are you doing with that eye?
Fool never knew what power he carried with him. Now you may watch as I turn the power of the pyramid's apex upon what is left of your friend.
He's not trying to hurt you.
No, not now, no. El Kaba hurt no one but himself.
What are you doing? I am being killed.
Good grief, it's Jack.
You must stop what you are doing.
So,
You know Hassan Bezel.
I don't know what you call him, but that's Jack.
So, my lord, the traitor. I take your eye.
No.
Now, both eyes are mine.
Please, please stop. I'm dying.
It is a saying, my lord. When you have put your head into the mortar, it is useless to dread the sound of the pestle.
Oh.
Well, Jack got himself in a good one.
What did he step into this time?
He found a valley full of stone circles, and he's finding the answer to them.
Mm. Well, he's getting what he wanted.
Yeah, but that answer's doing him in.
Why's that?
Well, I think, and this is the nutshell version, boss, it's got to do with using the mind, little M, trying to understand mind, big M, and that's a losing battle.
I am almost killed, but not quite. Why was it necessary to build all of these circles? To build Stonehenge? Is it possible that they could draw this energy into themselves? Legends about the druids. Their power of flight. I can see how they flew upon these currents. So this is the dragon current they could fly upon.
It's no use.
It is his intellect. Ah.
Yeah, I'm afraid he'll never let go of that. You know, I think something's happening. Up there in Queenie's tower. Come on, man. Shh. Quietly.
Quietly!
Over the ground, there comes a sound. It is the drum, drum, drum of hoofbeats in the sand. Quiver with fear, if you are near. It is the thunder of the...
Quietly! Sound.
Only I could just stand up. I think I could fly. But... No.
Watch. Final disintegration.
Just a little jolt might get me on my feet. Oh, what the hell. I may as well just let it go.
Are you me?
My God, there's two Jacks.
So...
El Kaba is... myself.
I don't know. It seems Hassan Bezel is also Jack Flanders.
Three of us.
No, I think just two.
Soon there will be zero.
Stop! Oh, vile, mean queen! Woe to thee, pestilent crone!
Ha! The sky rains midgets.
I'm little Flossik, child of magic, and this is my band of fierce warriors.
Fierce warriors!
They will be a band of fierce toadstools in a minute.
Fierce toadstools?
Ah, man. Don't worry about Queenie.
Queenie!
Don't Don't call me Queenie. As for you, you little insect, give me that cigar.
You broke my cigar.
That's only the beginning of what I'm going to break.
Damn it. That was a good cigar.
It doesn't matter anymore, my child.
Singed my pigtails.
She's still there.
Those were good pigtails.
Why, you little imp. Take this.
Ladies, please.
Shut up.
Have a nip of this, Queenie.
Ouch.
Hey, maybe
I'll
we can...
I'll finish with you later. Now, you little pigtailed runt. Try this. Stop. Please, no more. Get out of my way, demon. I am not demon.
Ladies, after all.
God, it's Lila.
The little one calls for demons, eh? Try it.
Oh. Home. Ceasefire.
Who are you?
The storyteller, Mustafa.
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 Mustafa!
So, Mustafa.
Certified public study teller. That's your status.
There is a rumor that you can match me with magic. Do you believe rumors?
Sometimes. But I am no magician.
You are not my equal.
No.
But I have a score to settle with you.
We must allow the past to pass.
My reputation, that is the present, no past.
I think you better let it go, Queenie.
Oh, shut up. This is between Mustafa and myself. I challenge you, Mustafa.
I am a mere study teller.
A coward.
Coward? No. No. One must be brave to tell studies nowadays. For it is said, if you insist upon telling the truth, you had better make it funny, or people will kill you.
I see no humor there.
I know. Queen Azara, heed the little Flossie. Let this go. Let this pass.
No. I challenge you.
It is hopeless. Your magic, my queen, no longer exists.
You think so?
It is so.
Then taste this.
Nothing.
You dare to remove my powers?
I do nothing.
Take this.
I do not like being an... I told you so, but what else can I tell you?
I'll kill you with my bare hands. I cannot raise my hand.
Raise to do harm? No.
I am no one.
Oh, cheer up.
I will kick you, insect. I will. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. I've no one. No one. No one.
Wow. You are most powerful, Mustafa.
I do nothing. Only study teller.
How did she lose her power?
You too would like to become one, yes?
I believe, yes.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Little Flossie, give me the Eye of Elkaba.
Which one? There's two of them here.
There appear to be two.
How's that?
Such is the activity of the mind.
Well, here's the appearance of two.
Place one eye in the palm of each of my hands. Now, Elkabar?
Yeah?
Stand. There. And Hazan, Bazel?
Yes?
Stand there. Now I take the two eyes, bring together my palms, and the appearance of two becomes one.
I am one.
So, all finished. You see, the eye too is one.
Ah, very nice, Mustafa.
The Eye of Elkabar must complete the journey. Jacques Flanders?
Yes?
I wish you to take the golden eye. Bring it to the fabled Mazamuda.
Who will I give it to?
He will be there.
Where is the Mazamuda?
Where the moon rises, there you will find it.
But
you will find it. Goodbye, my friends.
My desert is waiting. Dear, come there with me. I am longing to teach you. For two.
Goodbye, my friends.
Holy cow, he dissolved.
I too must leave.
Lila. Lila. Where did you get those wings?
They grew on one such as me.
I never saw them before.
I did not wish you to see. How did you escape?
From the valley? Well, I realized I could fly. But I had no strength left. Since I was obviously going to die, I had to let it go. Let go of my need to understand. The intellect. And immediately, I was here. Alongside my enemy. Myself. And then... then Mustafa did whatever it was he did.
I am very happy you are safe, Jack.
Look into my eyes and he says...
I leave now.
Lila, will you accompany me to the fabled city?
I cannot go there.
And the heart will beat to the dance.
Do you know why Mustafa doesn't return the eye to the great pyramid where it belongs?
A golden eye.
You cannot relive the past.
But now I want you to wear it.
Oh, no, I can't.
Where will you go now?
Let me put it around your neck.
I have a master, someone I must serve. I go to serve him.
I see.
Goodbye.
Well, that's the way to go. Come on, let's get out of this creepy tower.
Hey, wait. Oh, is that Azora?
Yeah, Queenie's in her chambers having a little cry.
Oh, isn't there anything we can
She's
say or do?
She's just taking the story seriously.
Hmm?
She'll realize it was just another story. She played it as it was written.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the same with all of us. We live our own stories. When it's completed, we begin another. So it is written. We part here.
And what are you going to do now?
I'll wait for another story. I'll be someone else in that story.
So it is written. Goodbye.
Wait, Flossie. Was Mustafa the one who...
Mustafa is only a storyteller.
Oh, I can't believe...
Don't worry about it. Another couple of days, it'll be clear as anything. Mustafa did with the two eyes and the two of you. That was pretty spiffy.
Yeah, sure was.
Ah, but there is no majesty and there is no might save in Allah, the glorious and the great.
Yes.
Say, can you give me a light?
Sure, here.
Thanks.
So you're really going to leave, huh, Flossie?
Yep. Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Al-Kabab!
Man, my name is Jack Flanders.
Your story is not finished, Al-Kabab.
Goodbye, Abu, and thanks for everything.
You asked about Mustafa. There's a saying, Jack. A devil takes one and makes two. A saint takes two and makes one. Let's go, man!
A devil takes two and makes one. A saint takes one and makes two.
No, it's the other way around.
A devil takes one and makes two. A saint takes two and makes one. A devil takes one and makes two. A saint takes two and makes one.
Who was that pigtailed little girl smoking a cigar?
Desires, happy life.
Back at Cosbah Kelly's on the bay in Tangier, Mojo resumes his casual tickling of the ivories. There's a Berber proverb that says, there are men who are keys to good and locks to evil. And so may Mojo live along in a joyous life.
How've you been?
I was about to ask you that.
Oh, Mojo, you sure play good.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to walk barefoot on the keys. You really look healthy, you know.
Thank you. I really feel good.
My. That's some suntan you got there.
It was the desert. God, it was hot. Is Kelly around?
He's out on the beach.
Just straight out from the door.
A little further down by the rocks over there.
Thanks, Mojo. Got a light?
Sure. Somewhere. Damn it. I'll get it.
Let me. Scary.
You look different.
Must be the suntan.
Maybe. No. You are different.
How?
Stronger. Confident. Independent.
My.
How did you get back?
Lila. And the little girl with pigtails. She smokes enormous cigars.
They got me back. Did you miss me?
Yeah.
How much?
This much.
That much?
Yeah. And what about me?
I missed you.
How much?
This much.
Well, I guess we missed each other.
I guess so.
What about Jack Flanders? Did he come back?
No.
He stayed there?
He's going on to find the Masmuda.
The fabled city. The holy Masmuda. Where is it? In the clouds?
I think so. Somewhere nestled in the clouds.
So, the mountains, finally. But what strange mountains. The clouds hang so low. The moon will be rising soon. I feel myself being drawn forward, like a magnet. The current pulling me forward. Home. Why did I say that? The clouds are clearing very quickly. I can see the top of the mountain. The moon is just coming up over. Oh my God. There it is. The fabled city in the sky. The Masmuda.
Well, you had me there. It was a tempting offer, but you know you don't have to have a master if you want to serve.
What did you say?
There ain't no masters, and there ain't no bosses unless you want them.
Good. What are you saying? You do not want me? Then say.
I'm saying I can't handle you.
You say I have no handles?
It's got to do with power. And I don't want to fool with that much power.
Why?
Don't laugh, but I'm not ready enough to use the powers you can give me. Oh, you laugh. My old mammy used to say, Mojo, you keep fooling with that magic, and one day you're going to acquire lots of powers, and those powers is going to acquire lots of mojo.
So that is your decision?
Yeah. There's something I want to know.
Spill the beans.
That eye of El Kaba.
Why did I give to Jack?
Yeah.
It was written.
I know that, but why did you give it to him?
It was so written.
All right.
It was written that one such as Jack would come. I was to give him the golden eye.
Did you love him?
Yes, that happened. But Jack loved me as what I represented. I was to give him what he'd look for.
The eye of El Kaba?
The key to dissolve good and evil. For when you think there is good to be done, then you have evil.
I think I got that. The old dancing dualities.
So, you wish to avoid the power.
You know, it's like this friend of mine used to say, that the birds of worry are going to fly over your head. This you can't change. But that they build nests in your hair, this you can duck.
Who said that?
This old friend of mine, Quagmire Jones.
I thought so. Quagmire, eh?
You know Quagmire Jones?
He was friend of my queen.
Quagmire?
Yes. He always full of jokes.
That sounds like old Quag. Where is he?
Who knows? Whatever there is on mischief, he is not far.
I'm getting nearer. It's pulling me forward. The walls approach. The gates open. There are the arches. The moonlit corridors. The silent courtyards. Now I approach the first arch. I've stopped. Is this as far as I can go? It's odd. I can't move. It's so thick. I just can't go any further. Someone's coming. Through the shadows. It looks like it's a boy. Hello.
Hello.
I've come a great distance to find your city. And...
why?
Well, I don't know. I just...
Why did you come such a distance?
Because your city was a long way from where I was.
Oh.
Now I can't seem to step any further. Something stops me.
Take off your shoes, please.
Huh? Oh. Sure. What do you have in that box? Slippers? Roller skates?
Give me foot, please.
What strange roller skates. The toes curl up. With a tiny bell on the end. The rollers are... they're almost clear. It looks like they're made out of solid jade.
Give me other foot, please.
Yes, of course.
You know he changed name?
Quag did?
When he embraced Islam, he no longer called Quagmire Jones.
Far out. What's he call himself?
Mustafa.
Mustafa?
Mustafa. He liked to tell stories.
Thank you.
Thank you. What from Pedro show?
A little echo there. That was Devin Hoff with a tune called Kira, written for Kira. Thank you, Devin. Before that, we had Screamers Live with Kira's brother, Paul Rossler, on the Fender Rhodes through a Fuzz Tone way back in the day. Screamers, one of the first bands, punk bands in our scene that could sell out the Whiskey.
Yeah.
And that they didn't even have a guitar.
That was an event. What was the thing they did later where they presented something about America, this big piece?
Some kind of like play or musical or opera or something.
It was kind of a gutsy thing.
They never recorded. They thought records were over. They made some demos. I've got some of those. But, yeah, they thought the big thing was going to be video. And they were right, in a way. I know a lot of bands who spend much more on the video than the whole album. Yeah,
well, that's too bad. I like that first Replacements video where they just show the amp, the whole thing, the amp. You don't
the
see a person
needle.
In it. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Before that, we had a song you picked, Bob, Varsara. David Bowie, Off of Love.
Yeah, that was when he
What's
was...
What's that about?
Gestating, working with Brian Eno.
Yeah, but why'd you choose
Iggy
that
came
one?
In there. Well, there's something I always liked, Eno's work, and that's my favorite Bowie album. I think it was his least selling, but the instrumental thing sort of broke a little new ground. People didn't like it. But you had Eno weaving his things through these just strange tapestries, and I heard recently that Iggy did some backing vocals on that. But it evolved into later, right after that, Robert Fripp came in and did some interesting production work on Heroes. You know, it's weird. I didn't really like the songs that much, but there's certain the instrumental things, like, what was that one called? Something about Sense of Doubt. And the one with the Koto.
Heroes is right after Low, right?
Yeah.
They kind of together.
Kind of flowed right in together.
And he had a hit with that single, but...
But somehow, Joy Division, they named themselves Warsaw because of that Bowie song, which... You don't hear that in there, but it's an interesting...
Have you ever heard this, I don't know, legend about, you know, the Joy Division singer killed himself right before their first U.S.
Oh,
tour.
What he listened to?
It was Lust for
the
Life.
The Idiot, wasn't it? I heard it was The Idiot.
Oh, I thought it was Lust for Life. But it was some Iggy thing.
He drank a bottle of Jack and put on The Idiot. He had just seen the movie Strozak by Werner Herzog, which has been a really bleak vision of America, where these people come over, a retarded guy, a whore, and they end up in Wisconsin and really get fucked with. And I had a Joy Division album where after Ian Curse died, it says the chicken stops here. Well, that was in the movie. There was this chicken playing the piano. And so Ian Curtis saw this right before they're coming to the U.S., like 3 days. And that was like the final blow, along with the epileptic seizures on stage. And people were actually digging that mania thing that was
seizures. I think there's going to be a movie on his life or something.
Yeah, I heard that.
I like that black record.
I had the bootleg. The RCA one was rejected. I got it at Pooh Bahs for a birthday, for Christmas present.
Pooh Bahs.
Where
did
they
you ever
had
go there,
the
Brother
original
Matt?
RCA that had the real raw punks down. It was just too simple.
It's kind of simple.
It had the same cover as the first album. What was that? Unknown Pleasure.
All black with little mouth.
This was real manic, kind of punky.
Radio waves.
Real bite. I thought the guy could have been one of the greatest song lyricists ever. I mean, they got in that stuff with the Martin Hannett production, such as Atmosphere, where he's doing his, like, Sinatra, Iggy crooning with these really atmospheric keyboards, and, yeah, they were interesting.
Yeah, I remember there was a lot of controversy over the bass player having a beard.
Really?
Yeah, and like punk bands.
Barney Hooker, which name? He's got
that kind of happened with me when I first wore beards. It was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't like shaving on tour.
Well, beards and flannel, they must have thought you were a lumberjack if you went
or
to
San
Minnesota
Francisco.
Or like that. Oh, yeah, they liked you there with that. Castro Street.
I remember once I played the Peppermint Lounge, and when we got done playing, I had like a conga line of like 20 guys. Because in the old days, there was a lot of gigs in gay clubs. Because a lot of rock and roll pads didn't want us playing. So that was interesting. And we started the third hour out with part O of Moon Over Morocco. We got one more part, so next show will be the finale for Jack.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Yeah. So,
what he knows.
Huh?
Maybe he'll discover what he knows.
That's right.
The secret.
Discover it.
It's all in your toes.
And let's see. Bob gave me some music here to play from me and D. Boone's favorite Who album.
Still tripping on the chicken playing the piano. You don't see that kind of energy.
It's a creepy way it plays. It's all on the top keys.
Yeah, I remember that the Pike. Chicken playing the piano, the Pike.
There's something really sick about that, and the way it is in the movie. But I thought it was interesting that they did that album still, and they someone engraved on the vinyl the chicken stuff here, which is a very direct reference to that. It's strange.
Big show,
French. Yeah. The butterfly and fire. I mean, have you seen those videos? I've never seen anyone move like that.
Okay, here we go. Some Who, Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
From Pedro Show. Sorry about that. Got some. Yeah. Okay, that was the Germs doing Richie Daggers Crime. And before that, we had something you picked, Bob, Hall of the Mountain King, a cover song.
A little bit better than the 8th grade marching band version.
Yeah. Bob, it's been a blast having you aboard. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
All your insights, your stories, your tunage, everything. And Brother Matt, of course, you're always able, aiding and abetting of the Wap Pedro Show. And, 5 years now. 5 years, one day. Can you believe
it? How many shows is this? 103?
103.
Wow.
And they're all archived up at, go to the podcast directory in iTunes or TWFPS.com, the Wap from Pedro Show. And playing your tunage. Hopefully you don't hear everywhere else, and it's kind of different. And it's not that we're so special or anything, but I figure you see some freaks like us doing this, you'll start your own radio show or band or painting or poem or book, novel, whatever. Let your freak flag fly.
It's an influence.
Yeah.
Dude just grabbed you. For me being here, I feel like that. This is such an honor to be with the best bass player on the planet. Hardest working man, if nothing else, man. Remember that fan giving you a hard time about how many Moes you got on that?
Well, it must be nice playing with Iggy. Yeah, life's good.
If they only knew, huh?
Okay. Hey, it's the May 20th, 2006 version. Yeah, it's the Stooges. What an education. I'm lucky man. May 20th, 2006, edition Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.